Hello everyone, my name's Lynn and I'm one of the leaders at Whitley Bay Baptist Church. Welcome to what will be the last YouTube service in this format. We will be returning to the church building next week and I'll explain a little bit more about that at the end of the service. CRT wanted to bring our reflections on the last 16 months. Catherine, Helen and I will be bringing our reflections. Crispian will be bringing the prayers and Tony will read the word. First, let's begin by listening to Psalm 100. As we reflect on God's enduring love and faithfulness at this time. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's praise together as the band lead us.
Remember your people, remember Hello, my name's Helen and I'm part of the church leadership team, and I've been asked to share with you some thoughts about looking back over lockdown. And as restrictions ease and we look forward to returning to meet together in our church building, there is so much in my life for me to be grateful about. John, the lads and I have remained in good health. We have a warm and comfortable home, which meant we could batten down the hatches during lockdown. We laughed a lot. We have a back garden to sit in with a cup of tea and enjoy the sunshine. Our income has remained secure and we have no financial worries. I can see God's goodness to me everywhere I look. Yet there has been, and still is, so much about the last 16 months I have really struggled with. It's strange how hard it can be to recall exactly what it was like before the pandemic. I think it was our church moderator, Dave Tubby, who said it was like having your first baby. You can sort of remember life before children, but it's hazy and almost as if your pre-baby life belonged to someone else. I have to say that I loved my life before the pandemic. I loved its busyness. I loved the wide group of friends and colleagues I saw every day. I loved the juggle of making everything happen. I loved the fact that my life was full of things I enjoyed: travelling around the country for work, playing in a steel pan band, meeting with my house group, going to church. And I also loved God in the context of that life. But when it all came to a shuddering halt back in March 2020, I found it really hard to understand why God was allowing this to happen. What possible benefit could there be in a global pandemic that unleashed suffering and death on such a huge scale across the world? And on a personal level, I bitterly resented having any sense of control of my life taken away from me. As someone who loves to solve problems and sort stuff out for people, that feeling of helplessness broke my heart. My eldest son was forced to return home from having an amazing time in America just 6 months after leaving to study in the States. My father-in-law unexpectedly died following a stroke, and John, my husband, wasn't allowed into the hospital to say goodbye. We were unable to even see his mum for 5 months after the funeral. My youngest son retreated to his bedroom and shut the curtains, where he pretty much remains to this day, and his world has become smaller and smaller. So where was God? Actually, I'm going to make that present tense. Where is God in all this? Time and again, God has taken me to the Psalms. It's easy to think about the Psalms just being hymns of praise. Yet there are many times when David laments to God. And lament describes exactly what I did as I cried out to God. In Psalm 13, it says, "How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God." And yet, as the weeks became months and then more than a year, there seemed to be no answer to the question, "How long, Lord?" I still don't understand why this has happened, and as the world's least patient person, I don't like waiting for answers. But throughout it all, my trust in God is something I refuse to give up on, and I know that God has never given up on me. The end of Psalm 13 says this: "I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." We've all been through sadness, frustration, and despair. And the effect of what's happened in our lives will remain for many years to come. Just because lockdown is lifting, it doesn't mean the last 16 months haven't happened. It's caused me to question my relationship with God, but also come to an understanding that he has control of my life, even when I feel I have none at all. And nothing, not even a global pandemic, can take away his glorious salvation, in each of our lives. I'm so excited to be going back into the church building. I believe God has great things in store for our church as we start the next chapter with our new minister, Joel. I can't wait to be with you all, my brothers and my sisters, again. And we will listen to each other as we tell our stories of the last 16 months. And we might cry together, and I'm really hoping we'll laugh together too. And perhaps, best of all, despite the tears and the heartache, we will sing. We will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to us. Amen.
Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, as we come before you in prayer this morning, we bless your holy name. You are our eternal Father, who watches over us as a loving parent does their children. We bless you and thank you for the ways in which we have seen your love and care for us over these past 16 months, when we've not been able to meet as the body of your people in our usual place of meeting. We want to thank you for the work of scientists, health workers, carers, vaccinators, and all who have worked so tirelessly to enable us to reach this point where we can think about meeting again face to face. And today, as we look back over the past year and a half, we especially want to thank you for those in our own fellowship who have made our lockdown tolerable and our services workable. We thank you for the fact that in 2021, we have the technology to enable podcasts to be made, Zoom and Skype meetings to be held, and we realise how much more limited we would have been if this pandemic had occurred even just 10 years ago. We thank you for our AV recordings team, who've put our services together each week. For the music group and Sam, who've been able to record in different houses and then put it together to make it all one piece. We thank you for all those who have contributed to the podcast services in so many and varied ways. Over this time, we know so much care has taken place between friends and neighbours. And we thank you for the love of Jesus that people have been able to share with one another. We remember the parish nurses and the pastoral care team who've done so much to watch over and look out for our older and more vulnerable friends. For the strength of fellowship that small groups have been in this time, as well as the other fellowship groups like The Light and Take Five and Chat. We thank you for newfound relationships with neighbours in our streets. And in spite of all the limitations of lockdown, we can count so many blessings that have come from you through your people. We thank you for our health and for answered prayer in healing that we've seen. And we ask that you will comfort those who've suffered loss because of the pandemic. Loss of friends and loved ones, loss of employment, loss of confidence in life. Help us all to continue to learn to always put our trust in you. For we know that for those who love and trust you, all things work together for good, even though we may not see it or have all the answers at this time. We pray for the many in this world who are suffering the worst effects of the pandemic, but still do not have access to the vaccines and adequate healthcare. We pray that our own government would have a sense of the generosity with which you have dealt with our nation, and as world leaders, set a big example by being generous to the poor and suffering in the poorer nations. You, Lord, are our rock. You are our exemplar. You are our loving Father, and we are glad to extol your name and give you our thanks and praise. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Will you now join me in saying the prayer that Jesus taught us together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Good morning. This year has been quite an extraordinary year, hasn't it? I think everyone will agree with that statement. But I wonder, when you think of it being an extraordinary year, I wonder what comes to mind. You might think of the wonderful work that the NHS and the caring professions have done. Or you might think of the imposition of such a lockdown on the liberties that we normally have to do things as we wish, including meeting together in church in the usual way. Or it may be any one of a dozen ways in which this has been an extraordinary year that comes to mind. But I want now to think of one particular way in which this has been an extraordinary year for us as a church during this lockdown. Since we stopped meeting in church in March last year, we've been producing this podcast each week. And as we've developed and learned how to do it and to make it good, we've done that as we've gone along, and we've done it at very high speed. They say necessity is the mother of invention, and so it proved to be, but that in no way detracts from what we did, and with the help of God, you did it. For what I want to highlight here is the way in which so many of you have found yourselves doing things you would never have dreamt of doing before. You might never have spoken in church before or stood at the front. But during this year, you've prayed or taken a reading or given a testimony or brought some word from God's word to us. And not only done those wonderful things, but done them whilst wrestling with a video on a phone, recording it, uploading it, and maybe on occasions having to redo it because it hasn't gone right the first time. But you've done it. And we on CLT want to thank you and acknowledge what you have done, how much time and effort and care so many of you have spent going the extra mile and agreeing when asked to do something. Coming forward with material and ideas that have made our podcast so engaging and so helpful at a time when being able to gather for worship has not been possible face to face. We are deeply thankful to God for the gifts that he has given us, for the provision he has made, and we want you to know that your contribution has not been taken for granted. Thank you to all of you. But let me take the liberty to ask you to do one more thing. You've seen for yourselves what gifts and abilities God has given you, and that he has used this time of pandemic to open your eyes to see what you can do. And that this has been amazing and wonderful. The thing I'm going to ask you now is, what will you do with what he's shown you you can do going forward from here? I hope you don't put it all back in a box and forget it ever happened. Let me read you a couple of verses from Luke chapter 10. In verse 1 it says, "The Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field.' And so they went out and did as Jesus had bid them." And then in verse 17 we read, "The 72 returned, rejoicing, and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to your name.'" Do you think those 72, not the leader disciples, but drawn from the wider fellowship of disciples, do you think those 72 thought they would be able to do that mission before they went? I doubt it. But they came back rejoicing at what they'd seen and what they'd been able to do. We've all been on a different sort of mission this year. I hope you can rejoice in what the Lord has shown you can do and what he has done through us. And as we return to the building next week and begin a new phase in our church life with Joel coming, there will be plenty to do. And the gifts and experiences that you've found this year will find plenty of opportunity to be used and developed going forward, if we are willing and put them at the Lord's disposal for him to use. So my question going forward to you, my request is, will you continue to use what the Lord has shown you can do for his service? I wish you all every blessing.
Will be my hideaway.
I want to share with you my reflections on how CLT has journeyed through this last 16 months. Paul provided audio services and thoughts for the day as we considered the way ahead. With the help and skills of some of our fellowship, we quickly came to terms with Zoom, phoning into services and meetings, developing video services, holding prayer meetings, coffee times, small groups, and church meetings. We tracked the membership role and the church family contacts and endeavoured to see that everyone had contact with someone else. The parish nurses and the pastoral team stepped up as they phoned and supported you, the church, and people in the community. And lots of you made sure that the church family were looked after. It was good to see everyone pulling together and showing God's love to each other. Alongside this, the search team and CLT continued the seeking and appointment of Joel. We kept in touch with the leaders of groups, and we maintained the business of looking after the empty church building and the ordinary church business. God had moved the stabilisers from our church, the church building, and the gathering together of people. We were unsure of what the future held and how we would lead in uncertain times. As a team, we looked for information and guidance on how we could respond and serve you. We have attended several webinars on the post-COVID church, have had 2 away days with Roy Searle, and have completed an excellent year-long course on how to practice discerning God's will as a leadership team. Sudden change can be very unsettling and can leave us feeling that we should do something quickly. But Roy encouraged us to stop, look, and listen. To stop responding by overthinking and trying to do lots of things. To stop and ask questions. What are we encouraged by? What are our concerns? What does God want us to do? How will we apply what we are learning? To really stop and listen to God and hear what he was saying to us. To carefully look at what was happening before we responded with what we thought was best. To listen to God and to nurture a sense of unity amongst the different backgrounds and experiences that we had as a team. We were encouraged to develop our own individual prayer time and also our coming together to pray. We have met weekly to pray for the church and for the way ahead. We have stopped and listened quietly to God's voice and looked to discern his will for the church. We have shared our individual values and spent time looking at how to deal with conflict in a loving, respectful way by carefully listening to what others say to us. All of this has drawn us closer as a team and helped us to be honest and accountable to each other. All of the team know the importance of bringing everything we are busy with to God, to listen to him, to seek his guidance, as we aim to look after the spiritual life of the church. This is a process and will continue to be worked through. We have an away day arranged with Joel in the autumn term, where we will carry on the conversation with him as our team leader. And so the response time is moving on, and we need to look at what the recovery might look like. As we come together, some of you will be fed up with isolation, missing family and friends, anxious or nervous as we come out of restrictions, or raring to get going. We want to give you time to share your stories of the last 16 months with each other and to pray for each other. Many of you have shared marvellous stories with me of your experiences during this time. The acts of kindness, the phone calls, the small gifts, the support and God's hand on your lives. I'll talk more about how we might do this at the end of the service. And so as I look back over these 16 months, I see that my trust in God has grown, and I pray that as a church, we will grow in unity and love as we move forward.
During the pandemic, we have faced much uncertainty and isolation. Even today, we still don't have any certainty, and we still don't know when we will be able to meet and travel freely without restrictions or concerns. We have all faced separation, some more so than others. God also faced and experienced separation when Jesus came to earth and ultimately suffered on the cross for us. In our reading today from Romans 8, Paul poses a number of questions. If God is for us, who will bring any charge? Who then is the one who condemns? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Every time he asks a question, he provides the answer. Then in the final verses of this chapter, he reaches the climax, "For I am convinced." This is the love of God evidenced in the cross through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's pledge is not that suffering will never afflict us, but that it will never separate us from his love. Our confidence is not in our love for him, but in his love for us, which is steadfast, faithful, and continuous. Romans 8:31 from the second part of the verse and on. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Hi there. I'd just like to share with you some thoughts and reflections from the last 18 months of lockdown. So those of you who know me already will know that I like to be really busy. I'm involved in different church activities, especially the worship group and the children's team. And I'm a wife, a mum, I'm a teacher as well. I've got lots of different hobbies. I love fitness, I love walking and running and going to the gym. I'm playing my violin in an orchestra as well, and lots of other hobbies that I enjoy doing. So March 2020 came as a massive shock to me when one Friday afternoon school suddenly closed, the gym shut, my orchestra stopped, and on the Sunday there was no church to go to. I was only allowed out for exercise once a day. I really struggled with all of this. And I remember taking long walks on the beach with my sunglasses on. Luckily, it was quite sunny then, but with my sunglasses on all the time so that nobody would see the tears in my eyes. I especially dreaded Sundays with no church to attend. And I felt absolutely devastated that my lovely nursery class had left and just wasn't going to be coming back to nursery. These were really difficult times for me, as I'm sure they were for a lot of you. However, when I reflect and look back, I can see that God was using that time to shape me and to change me. And one passage that I've reflected on a lot is the passage from Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, about Mary and Martha, which says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" So I've read that Bible passage so many times in my life, and every time I read it, I know that it is talking about me, because I am Martha. And I feel that God was really using that time to tell me to just stop. I don't always have to be a Martha, busy, 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 doing God's work in the world. I can be Mary. I can just sit at the feet of Jesus. I've learnt to sit and watch the sunrise. Often it's been from my paddleboard because I haven't completely stopped being active. But just having that time to appreciate a beautiful sunrise is incredible. I've taken really long walks on my own where I've been able to appreciate the beautiful area that we live in and to talk to God and listen to God. A book that I found really helpful is this one. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. It's got lots of good ideas in it if you are a busy person who struggles with stopping. So I haven't taken on board everything that he suggests in the book. One bit was about just slowing your walking down and thinking about every step and really appreciating everything that's around you. I don't think that is ever going to work for me. I like to walk really fast and enjoy God's creation that way. But there were a lot of good ideas in the book, especially around the Sabbath, which I have tried to take on board. He also talks about the importance of having really deep Christian friendships. And I've definitely used a lot of my lockdown time to spend more time with my Christian friends and found deeper and strengthened friendships, which have been such a blessing to me. As I've mentioned before, our small group has continued to meet, and we've really got to know each other better during this time, although we've known each other for a long time. We've learnt more about God, and we've done some great studies together. And if you're not part of a small group already, I would really encourage you to do so. So the second kind of half of what I wanted to talk about was my involvement in church activities during this time, even in this time of lockdown. So previously, the areas of church that I've been involved in have been very much within my comfort zone. I've been a teacher for 20 years, so being part of the children's ministry is just a natural fit for me. I've been playing the violin for most of my life, and have been involved in church worship groups since I was a teenager. So again, that's just an easy thing for me to be a part of. And last summer, I had a phone call asking me if I would like to be part of the church prayer team. Now, this is not something that I've been involved in before, and I've had to step out of my comfort zone to help to plan and lead the online Zoom prayer activities and also take part in some of the YouTube services. I really felt God's calling to be part of the team, and although I've been very nervous on some occasions, I've really felt God's blessing in it. It's been such an encouraging ministry to be a part of, and it's a fantastic team, and having to step up has been really good for my faith because I've had to properly trust in God. And without my time on the prayer team, I definitely wouldn't have felt equipped to become part of CLT. It's felt like a little bit of a kind of training ground for me. So this has been another really important part of my journey with God over this time, certainly out of my comfort zone. And I felt so nervous the first CLT meeting that I attended. However, I've really felt like I've become part of the team and I'm enjoying making the decisions about how WBBC is going to be moving forward over the next few months. It's been really encouraging to take part in a course with the other CLT members about listening to God and discerning His will. I feel like I've learned a lot in that about myself and about the other people. And I would really encourage you to just step out of your comfort zone and trust in God and maybe try something new. I know that there are lots of teams and ministries who will be looking for new people to join them. I know the AB team in particular will be needing some new members, and the creche would love some more people on their teams. But there are lots of other areas that you could get involved in. And I would really like you to encourage you today to be praying and just listening to God and asking where you could be involved. Maybe God is asking you to get out of your comfort zone too. There's so many fantastic people at our church, and I really feel like the best way to get to know them is by serving alongside them as part of a team. So just leave you with that encouragement today. Thanks.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will.
Oh, and I will rise. When he calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. I will rise.
And I hear the voice of many angels sing,
about how the weeks ahead will look. At the time of recording this, CRT will not have met to discuss the details of returning to the building. But by the time the service goes live, we will have met, and so a letter will be sent out to give you the details of how we will return to the building and also some feedback on the recent survey. From next week, the 25th of July, we will have morning services at 10 o'clock in the church building, but we will also continue with a simple online service for those of you not able to join us. Next Sunday, we will have a more informal type of service where CRT will look to the way ahead. I hope there'll be an opportunity for us to talk to each other and pray for each other, and the band will lead us in live worship. The children and young people's activities will start, and parents and carers, if you haven't yet had a chance, please remember to go to the bulletin and fill in the simple form so that the leaders can plan the summer programme. On the 22nd of August, Paul and Jill will join us, Paul will preach, and we will have a chance to say a very belated farewell. We will have the BMS service on August the 8th, and various people from our church family will be leading the other services, where we hope there will be opportunities for testimonies about the past months. Climate Sunday is on the 5th of September, when Joel will join us, and Joel's induction service is on Saturday the 11th of September at 2 o'clock. He will lead his first service on the 12th of September. Those of you who have joined us on the YouTube services but haven't come along to the church building before and would like to know more about the church or ask any questions, then you can contact us. You will find the details of how to do this on the first page of the church website. Let's pray as we come to the end of our service. Lord, thank you that you have walked with us through these months, that you have loved us and been close to us. Help us, Lord, over the coming months to be sensible but not driven by fear. Protect us, Lord, as we come together in the building again. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.